Yo, I'm back. I'm the Foul-Hooked Whitey. Episode 2. Jesus should get out of outfitting. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's the title, but I left off with some regulations that were going down on the plat for 2026 for, again, the health of the fishery, the control of the fishery. You know, somebody stepping in and saying, look, you know, this is everybody's water. We're going to make the decisions about the health of this fishery, and we're going to put a couple of regs in place. Now, there is some limitations as far as who can outfit, who can guide an outfit on it, I believe. That's the big thing. Although some of the other new regulations were kind of, they were dear to me, and I was kind of blown away that Wyoming did this. Number one, barbless hooks. So, like, I mean, in this, I'm talking the plat here, obviously. To say, you know, you can't fish with barbs on this fishery, to me, was number one, it was ballsy. You know, totally with merit, but ballsy as fuck, number one. Number two, I mean, it also was a sincere gesture on an overfished fishery and how to catch and take care of the fish by taking the fucking barb out of it. I'm a barbed fisherman. I don't debarb. I probably fucking should. I don't think about it, you know, and you know, I want to land trout, whatever. So I'm not a barbless fisherman, but, you know, doing that on behalf of volume, you know, like I said, ballsy and really great for trout. Okay. Number two, and this was just as ballsy because of the fact that you can no longer, or you won't be able to any longer peg beads or, I believe, you know, gumi worms, latex worm material, anymore either. And that's coming soon. And, you know, that again, I'm just sitting there thinking, whoa, you know, that's a governing body of water that stepped up and said, we're going to protect this fishery and we don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. And, you know, that kind of gets back to what I was saying about, you know, the bighorn in Montana and the volume, is that it's like at some point Montana Fish and Game is going to have to do a comprehensive, legit fucking assessment on, like, is the volume affecting the bighorn fishery, and not come back with some bullshit, you know, public namby-pamby pandering bullshit about, you know, trying to make everybody happy, including the folks that have a right to harvest trout and blah, blah, blah. I mean, fuck. I mean, you know, where is Fishing Game on the volume of traffic on the Bighorn River? So, you know, guides and outfitters are always going to get blamed for being the traffic on rivers. You know, they're always going to get blamed. And, you know, do I think that's fair? I don't think that's fair unless it becomes a business entity that is doing big volume on a number of great fisheries, because they're got a bunch of fucking nerds and geeks in a computer room and get all search preference. When people, you know, Montana fly fishing trips, boom. I mean, what comes up first? You know, a lot of times that first page is going to get the most calls, the most emails, but that doesn't mean those are going to the best guides and outfitters and the folks, in my opinion, most deserving of that fucking money, which are outfitters and guides that have put their time in on those specific fisheries. And I think the day is coming to where a business entity is going to be told, and this is already happening in a lot of different guiding and outfitting jurisdictions, but they're going to be told in this area, you got this many fucking days to do business this year. That's not your individual quota. That's your outfitting quota. They're going to have to figure out, you know, why this dude is, you know, is this shop doing all this volume because they've got 25 great fucking guides deep? No way they do. They just are getting a lot of trips, and some of those trips are based on positive experience with them in the past with their clients. But a lot of it has to do with, again, those geeks and nerds in that fucking computer room generating fucking search results. You know, that's what that is. And they just put a ton of fucking boats out because of that. So my friend, the guide, the outfitter, he's right. It's time to make, you know, that Jesus Lodge account for how much business it can do. You know, it's time to, you know, pay attention to that top volume shop and how many days they're running out there. It's time to break it down for what it really is numbers wise and then make appropriate decisions. But it's time to start discussing the impact of outfitters, guides, nonprofits, the public, it's time to assess how much volume there is out there, what percentage is what, and then make some fucking informative decisions regarding who can float what and when they can fucking float it. I'm no longer part of that crowd that's just like the rivers absorb it all fine, that it's all good. I'm in the biz. I want those people coming in, spending money with me. It's not about that when it comes to certain cherished fisheries at this point, in my opinion. So the governing bodies, the entities, the fishing games, the feds, yes, the feds, the federal, you know, forest, they control a lot of shit. It's time for them to get serious about knowing what the problem is and being able to eliminate a lot of the headaches, because the public will abide by what they go by. And at this point, it's all about the health of the fisheries. And in my opinion, the experienced entities on bodies of water that have been there in some cases generationally, but also just because they've been working hard for a couple of decades. Those are the professional entities to me that you'd get the number of tags, right? The number of boats they can legally float with guides. They're the ones that should get a bulk of that business and more scrutinize the nonprofits, right? Because the nonprofits that are out there, they're part of the problem. And the issue for me is that the money could be sketchy. And that's no allegation on any nonprofit out there. I just mean that, like, you know, it you just, again, you know, where does the money go? You know, with trips and outfitters that, you know, my shops, you know, worked in correlation with historically. I mean, fuck, it goes right into a guide's pocket. You know, pay his gasoline bill, pay his fucking cable bill. But, you know, these nonprofits are all, what's the CEO? I mean, I'll just come right out and say this. You know, you got a nonprofit that's putting a fair amount of volume on fisheries, including the entity I've described on the Bighorn River here. And what's the CEO get paid? I mean, that would be my first question right there is, you know, okay, this is a religious-based thing. That's cool. I'm not anti-JC at all. Nothing like that. And they have a right to be there. But what's that CEO make? And, you know, whoever the head dude running, you know, that organization, that foundation, what's he grossing? And I don't want to know that personally to be rude. It just, to me, makes a big difference on how many boats they can put out on a body of water, right? That's not pure business. That's organizational fodder. I mean that, okay? If you're not out there giving somebody a paid experience, but you're taking money, that's not real guiding and outfitting. That's fodder. And that's something to be looked at when it comes to the amount of volume on certain fisheries. So those are the, you know, telling somebody you have to fish barbless, telling somebody you can't peg an egg, telling somebody you can't peg a gummy worm, that is way less contentious than saying to somebody, I'm legally giving you this number of days for you to outfit this year on this river. Right? Okay? Because everybody's paying the same thing probably to participate. But, you know, the amount of volume, right, is going to just a few entities. And even though that's how it always is, the way that outfitter looked at me that day and was concerned about the health of his fishery because of this volume, because of these number of trips, is legit cause for concern. So the decisions that were made down on the Platte, requiring some licensing, which is long overdue down there, as well as limiting pegging, right? Going barbless. That was done with a lot of balls. And now in Montana, our governing body has to look at some of these fisheries. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that feel this way when it comes to the Missouri. I believe the Madison has rules in place to a degree. And certainly the Big Hole, I believe, is also more established as far as, you know, it's just not, you know, anybody can just professionally do business on that river. But at this point, it's just time to take a look at it, because what we see today isn't going to diminish. You know, the internet has made it so that anybody can know about anything and know the greatness of certain areas. And, you know, Montana's finally caught up. You know, Montana's caught up. You know, the last 10 years in Montana has been a huge expansion of people, property development, money coming into the state. And that's just put an obvious result of a lot more people on its fisheries. And if you've been in this region on these fisheries, let's just say since the mid-90s, you're going to be somebody that has the experience and the knowledge to know of how it's not sustainable. It's not. And it's time for the powers that be to look at all these entities and what they're doing on the fisheries and making sound decisions for the health and benefit of trout. And that's my rant. I'm the Foul Hooked Whitey. I'm out.